The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Today we are going to talk about stress response. So more specifically, we are going to break down today what is fight or flight, the difference between sympathetics and parasympathetics response. We are going to talk a little bit about Stephen Covey's four quadrants. Guys, the thought process behind this is one that I think about often and has made quite a large change in my life. Not that I'm ever stressed, but if I was, it's one. Box breathing, we'll talk a little bit about adrenals, but overall, kind of how we manage through this. So I want to physically give you techniques. So when you're done listening after this hour, you will physically have action steps and techniques that when you start to feel that stress, the thought process, the action steps that you can change in order to be able to reduce that as much as feasibly possible. You know, at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we really look at five essentials. And number one is nervous system, right? Your brainstem and spinal cord, which control everything. We look at nutrition, maximizing oxygen and lean muscle, minimizing toxins. But the one I feel that we talk about the least is mindset. And it is such a huge component of everyday life. You know, mental health is, you know, it's kind of one of those things you don't think about till it's not working. And when it's not working, it's all consuming. And that's bad. I don't know if it's bad to say about your brain, but like thought process and mindset, it really is a big deal. So we're going to talk about management of that. How can we do it well, or at least in a good, better, best reality? How do we maybe possibly work towards better? So, but before we touch base on that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now. One of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's health in the news, we have an article that's from Green Med Info. Success! FDA finally issues amalgam warnings. So when we talk about amalgams, what are amalgams? And they're fillings. So amalgam fillings are mercury fillings. I will start with this story before I get into this article because I think it's very interesting. You know, the FDA has always used the term silver fillings. So if you have a silver filling, it's likely an amalgam filling, which is actually it's a mercury filling. So my husband, when he moved from active military to reserves, you know, you go through all of these steps and processes and, you know, rigmarole to make sure that they check all the boxes to see, like, as a person, what type of damage to the military do to you, right, before you get out? Like, what as the military are we responsible for damage that is forever done to your body? You know, but one of those check mark off the box was for dental. And we had talked, you know, years and years before that as soon as my husband got done with active duty, we were going to a biological dentist to get his amalgam fillings removed, right? I know the damage that mercury does next to an individual's brain, long-term, short-term health concerns. So we agreed that we really didn't want to do anything beforehand. We were going to wait until he was done, and then we were going to take that time and get them removed. And so he had his last checkup maybe a month or two before we had already had the removal of his amalgam scheduled. So he went into the dentist, the military dentist, and they said, oh, you've got like a couple cavities here and here, and so we're going to schedule you for an appointment to get them filled. And my husband said, you know what? Honestly, no thanks. I'm going to hold off. And she said, well, you can't hold off on a cavity. And he said, well, I already have an appointment once I'm out to be able to get those taken care of. I don't want any more silver fillings. And, you know, he said with the mercury and the mercury fillings, the amalgams. And she looked at him and kind of like squinted. And he said that she said, why? Is it because of the aesthetics or is it because of the mercury? And he said, honestly, it's because of the mercury. And she goes, there's not even that much mercury in them. And I was like, wait. So not only did she acknowledge that there was mercury fillings, if your answer would have been, you know, these silver, quote unquote, silver fillings are not aesthetically pleasing, she would have been totally okay with that. But the fact that you're thinking about your health and mercury, then that's laughable, right? So I just thought that so he's had them removed. And even under the amalgams, he had super deep cavities. It was really, really unfortunate, but interesting. I'm so glad we got him taken out, went through heavy metal detoxification processes. So more recently, the FDA actually released a long overdue safety communication on amalgams. So after years of pressure from Consumers for Dental Choice and its allies, the FDA finally admitted the truth about amalgam fillings, noting that dental amalgams is a mixture of mercury and a powdered alloy made up of silver, tin, and copper that releases small amounts of mercury vapor over time. The FDA finally comes out and says, hey, guess what? These amalgam fillings, they just a small amount of mercury. The agency also admits that there are uncertainties and the risks associated with these mercury vapors, especially for high-risk groups listed. In particular, there is, quote-unquote, the potential for mercury and dental amalgams to convert to other mercury compounds in the body. And the mercury could potentially accumulate in bodily fluids and tissues, resulting in unintended health outcomes. Unintended health outcomes. It's heavy metal, guys. Remember back in the day, I was probably in grade school when they would like let you play with mercury on the desk. They just passed it around. And then one day they're like, oh, that's really bad. The FDA is legally required to classify all medical devices, including dental amalgams. But for 30 years, the FDA dodged its legal duty to classify amalgams. Consumers for Dental Choice put an end to the FDA's negligence when in 2008, this dynamic nonprofit organization assembled plaintiffs and sued the FDA, demanding that amalgams be classified. The judge agreed and told the FDA to sit down with Consumers for Dental Choice to determine a deadline. The FDA was compelled to commit to classify amalgam fillings by July of 2009. But when July of 2009 came around, it was clear the FDA had not considered the science, especially the evidence of harm amalgams can cause in vulnerable populations like children, pregnant women, and breastfeeding mothers. So its abysmal rule reflected this shortcoming, as it did not restrict the use of amalgam fillings for these most vulnerable individuals. The rule did not even require that patients be told that amalgam fillings is made of mercury. Nonetheless, FDA's 2009 rule did acknowledge that amalgams could be harmful and that there was no proof of safety for the populations most susceptible to this toxin. So over a decade later, now they're finally coming out. So the first signs of progress came with the FDA's September 2019 scientific reviews of amalgams. They talked about and recognized that elemental mercury and dental amalgams can convert inside of the body into toxic methyl mercury, the same type of mercury that the FDA warns about in fish. The FDA also recognized bioaccumulative effects of mercury, compounding effect, right? It keeps more and more and more and more. Your body doesn't get rid of it. Since patients are exposed to many sources of mercury, including high mercury fish in their diet, occupational exposure, and environmental mercury from waste incinerators, the mercury from amalgam fillings could actually be the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. So now that the FDA has finally broken its silence on the dangers of mercury for pregnant and nursing women, children, and people who have underlying conditions, the final step, a full ban on amalgams for all, looms near. Right? Think about this. They literally said, hey, you know who shouldn't do this? Pregnant women, breastfeeding women, women who plan on getting pregnant. Another somewhat interesting but very devastating side note, a colleague of mine, her niece got diagnosed at the age of 8 or 9 years old with brain cancer. So they did a lot of research to figure out, you know, at the young age of 9 years old, what parlayed this cancer. And interestingly enough, one of the things that they noted was a massive amount of heavy metals, more specifically mercury, that this child had. And had never received the flu shot, which again is high in thimerosal, which is mercury. I'm not going to argue it. Just look it up. So they, didn't eat. The nine-year-old wasn't around an incinerator. But they actually traced it back to mom's amalgam fillings when she was pregnant. Right? Like, for some reason, in the United States, we fail to talk about preconception and the health of preconception. So we're just like, oh, no, it's totally fine. Oh, you're pregnant. Let's put some amalgams in. You plan on getting pregnant. Let's put some amalgams in. Oh, you're a kid. Let's put some amalgams in. You're developing brain. Let's put mercury right next to your brain in a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old. It just blows my mind. So the next step is kind of just waiting to see. So more recently, the safety communication on dental amalgams, the FDA specifically advises dentists against using the term silver fillings, as it may imply that the filling is made solely from silver and does not accurately convey the mercury component of this restorative material. The FDA also highlights that this dentum amalgam, the device description, page 4 amalgam, should note that the chemical, half of dental amalgams, is mercury by weight. The chemical property of elemental mercury allowed to bind together with silver, copper, and tin alloy particles to form an amalgam. So dentum amalgams are often referred to as silver fillings because they're silver-like in appearance, although the use of this term is not recommended because the term does not correctly explain the material in amalgam fillings. So if your dentist now moving forward tells you it's silver fillings, you can say, actually, that's a mercury filling. And according to the FDA guideline posted, they said, stop calling it a silver filling. It's deceptive. Is your dentist up to date on it? If it's not, you got to start maybe looking at a change in dentist. Now, when we come back, let's talk about that time that your heart starts racing, your palms are sweating, your pupils dilate. It's called the fight or flight response. And I'll tell you more about what that is next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Come on, sing it like a soldier. Go
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. You know, and here's what I will tell you. I encourage you, if you have been thinking about it, stewing upon it, just come in. You literally have nothing to lose. $25 for initial exam and consultation to sit down with one of our doctors, so educated, to figure out from a health component what's going on. You spend $25 getting 2-foot-long sandwiches, drinks, and chips. Get real. Right? So $25 is nothing to evaluate, but you've got to start making this step at some point. I'll share this quick story with you too. We've had this like odd influx of pilots who've come in, right? Like literally the last, I don't know, a couple of weeks, we've had like close to a half dozen pilots that came in. And I was talking to one the other day, and he said, you know, like I've been meaning to come in, but I mean, it's really like I can still do everything and it's not all the time. And like, you know, I had this flare up and it was, you know, it was Sunday and today's, you know, a couple of days later and it's like almost gone. So I don't even know why I'm here. And I'm like, And I was like, okay, all right. Well, you know, it's just one of those ones you're like, hi, just because your back isn't gone out, you're not crawling in here crying. Like, that's not the most ideal time to see you. The most ideal time to see you is when you've had these ebbs and flows. Something's clearly going on. It hasn't cleared up for multiple years. It's happening more frequently. Yes, you can still do everything now, but leave it be. Fast forward 10 years. What does that look like? He's like, I know, just time and all these things. And I'm like, I totally get it. And I was really quiet and I looked at him. I said, may I ask you a question? And he said, absolutely. I said, do they ever do preventative maintenance on your plane? And he was like, of course. And I was like, and I asked, but why? And you could see the blank stare and one little eyebrow raise. And he goes, And I was like, right. So you can keep flying, right? He goes, all right, all right. Guys, you do preventative maintenance on your car. You do preventative maintenance on your teeth. You do preventative maintenance in all other regards. Like, why wouldn't you do it for your nervous system? Now, let's talk about stress. Not that any of us have this, but if we did, it would probably be a good time to start addressing it. I feel like there's not a time ever that there really isn't any stress, right? Like it's just not realistic to think we're never going to have any stress. So just figuring out how we manage stress appropriately. Now, one thing that I will tell you to kind of like thought process wise is the fight or flight response that we often have. So a fight or flight response is your body's natural physiological reaction to acute stress. It's called the acute stress response. And I'm sure you've experienced this at some point. You've heard a loud sound. You've encountered a frightening situation. Your kids or spouse jumps out and scares you. Sorry, I always think about this, like if you're not paying attention and like, or like you see a car accident coming, you have to like slam on the brakes and like your heart races and right? So your hormones kick in. So it's promoting a release of adrenaline and cortisol. Your heart rate increases, your blood pressure increases, and a lot of your non-essential, like quote unquote non-essential biological systems, so your digestive system, your reproductive system, your growth processes are suppressed for, and it allows for your body to prepare to either run or fight to survive, also known as your fight or flight. Right? Are you going to run? Are you going to fight this? So here's what happens during that fight or flight response. So in response to the acute stress, the body's sympathetic nervous system, that's your fight or flight, is activated due to the sudden release of hormones. So it stimulates your adrenal glands to trigger catecholamines, which includes adrenaline and cortisol. So adrenaline's what increases your heart rate, elevates your blood pressure, boost energy, right? Because you need a ton of energy if you're going to run from this. Cortisol, your primary stress hormone, increases sugar in your bloodstream, enhances your brain's use of glucose, and increases the substance that repair tissue. So cortisol also curbs function that would be non-essential or detrimental to fight or flight, right? Like, what does that mean? If you're being chased by a bear, that's what kind of the archaic one back in the day, you're being chased by a bear, fight or flight comes in. There is no need for you to poop, right? Like, that's the last thing your body needs is to be like, oh my goodness, I need to have a bowel movement right now. If you are running and chasing for your life. So basically, your body stops that function. Like, right? How smart is our body? So it also alters your immune response, suppresses your digestive system, reproductive system, and growth process. This is when, too, suppresses your reproductive system. So you hear people are like, oh, we're trying to get pregnant. We can't get pregnant. And they're like, just relax. Take a vacation, right? Because what happens is that fight or flight goes away and your body's like, oh, like, why would you ever get pregnant if you're being chased by a bear? We don't think about these processes. Another thing that's really interesting about this, and why I encourage individuals to stop eating in their car, to stop eating at their desk, because when you go through this fight or flight, it stops the digestion process. So we're constantly in this like, go, 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 right? And we're eating food on the go. So our body's like, hey, I'm not ready to rest and digest. I'm in fight or flight. And we can't figure out again why we have all of these digestion issues. It's literally from a sympathetic, parasympathetic standpoint. You're not allowing your body to digest. And here's the other portion too. Our bodies are designed to go through this. If you know anything about your adrenals, what produce adrenaline and cortisol, you will die without your adrenals. You have never heard of anyone who lives with removed adrenals because it is not physically possible. But yet what we do is we activate this system that's supposed to be short term, right? You're getting chased by a bear. So one of two things happens. You finally get away from the bear after how many minutes, or the bear kills you. It's just very simple. But the problem is we live in the state of running from the bear 24/7 for the last 5 years. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on your body and in your mind. So they actually have numerous disorders that are actually linked to stress. You know, the most obvious, I feel like, is heart disease. Because stress directly increases the heart rate and blood flow, it causes the release of cholesterol and triglycerides into the bloodstream, which in turn narrows and blocks the blood vessel, causing heart disease. Research has long suspected that people who feel more stressed have a higher risk of high blood pressure and heart problems. Surprise. Asthma. Right? Many studies have shown that stress can worsen asthma. One study in biophysiosocial medicine stated that parents in a stressful situation or who have specific parenting attitudes can become a source of stress that affects the onset in the course of their child's asthma. So if you weren't stressed enough about your stress, know that your stress might be exacerbating your child's asthma, but don't stress about that. Another study that was published in The Lancet demonstrated that chronic stress and repeated negative situations significantly increased the risk of new asthma attacks in children. Another study found that children exposed to high levels of air pollution while also being stressed were more likely to develop asthma by the age of 6. Obesity. And I feel like sometimes this is one where they say, what was it, the commercial, like, do you have fat around your midsection? And it was like a full commercial for cortisol, right? Cortisol, belly fat, often go hand in hand. Stress can worsen diabetes, but also, too, Stress can have an effect on your regulation of blood sugar. My example, I had just opened the practice. My husband and I just got married, and he was deployed. And it was a special operations deployment. And like a knot, he was in Afghanistan. It wasn't a good place that he was in. It was just, right? So I went in for annual blood work, as I always do. And I was talking with this natural practitioner, and she said, oh, now mind you, before it was fasting, and I remember thinking I'd gone to the like gym in the morning. It was probably at, you know, 9 o'clock, 9:30. And I remember thinking, if they don't take this blood right now, I'm going to pass out. Like my blood sugar is so low, I'm going to pass out. And when I got the blood work back, it said my blood sugar was a little bit high. She said, oh, you probably just ate. And I was like, no, I know for sure I didn't eat. She said, well, are you stressed? And I was like, no, things are going great. She said, well, didn't you just open up your practice? Mm-hmm. Isn't your husband deployed? Mm-hmm. She's like, so that's kind of stressful. And I'm like, no, I mean, I'm tolerating it so well. And she's like, but you're not. She's like, the stress is throwing your blood sugar off. Because she's like, well, you're just eating poorly. And I'm like, if anything, no, I'm better when he's gone because I cheat less. I don't have anyone to cheat with. I didn't have any friends. I just moved here. You know, so when you're looking at in terms of diabetes, it's so hard to regulate blood sugar. Again, we talked a little bit more about gastrointestinal problems, accelerated aging, weakened immune system. There, according to the University of British Columbia, they had nearly 300 studies on stress and review to health. A meta-analysis showed very interesting things. It showed that for the first couple minutes of the stress response, there was this first responder activity, like this burst of immune cells. But then for stress for significant duration, for a few days, months, or years, it actually found that immunity went downhill, right? So the long-term chronic stress causes the wear and tear and huge, huge damage to the immune system, right? If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. Now, one damage to organ systems, too, that we didn't quite talk about are your adrenals. Now, this is one what's really interesting. So we do organic acid tests in the office. It's a urinalysis. It looks at neurotransmitters. A couple of those neurotransmitters actually evaluate adrenals. So it's so funny because in modern medicine, they view adrenals as something that's not real. Like adrenal fatigue is not real. Listen, as someone who's lived through some adrenal fatigue, went through and healed it, killed my adrenals again, had to work on healing them again, right? Like adrenal fatigue is a real thing. Because I when we talk about adrenals, remember adrenals are the ones that deal with stress hormones. So I always explain it somewhat like diabetes, if you will. You increase your sugar, your pancreas produces insulin, right? Sugar, pancreas produces insulin, sugar, pancreas produces insulin, sugar, insulin, sugar, insulin, until you burn out your pancreas. You're like, dude, I'm tired. You keep giving me sugar. I can only give you so much insulin. I'm super tired. I'm not giving you insulin. And that's what type 2 diabetes is. Now, when you look at things like adrenal fatigue, it's stress, adrenals produce hormones. Stress, adrenal produces hormones. Stress, hormones, stress, hormones. Until your adrenals are like, hey, you're burning me out. I'm tired. I don't want to listen anymore. I'm not doing it. And so there's two main aspects that typically burn out adrenals. One is stress. The other is caffeine. Stimulant, guys. Stimulant. Now, I don't drink that much caffeine. Right. That's what I told myself. I did a cup of coffee in the morning. It was, you know, like a mug, like a travel mug. But still, I'm like, it's not that much. So I cut out coffee. No, it's not fun. Yes, it is awful. Yes, you can still do it, right? The first couple of days, I think, are the worst. After that, I realized I actually felt better. I had more energy. How is that possible? You have more energy cutting out caffeine. But what happens is when you give your body a stimulant consistently, it tries to reach homeostasis. So when you wake up, it actually brings your body down to know when you give it that stimulant, it brings it up just to reach baseline. So cutting out caffeine was a really big component. You know, I just moved to herbal teas. I liked something warm in the morning. The other one is stress. And this is one where... This is so much easier said than done. Manage your stress. Sounds good. Totally can do that. So when we come back, I'll give you a couple action steps to make that process look a little bit easier.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. Check out Dr. Leanne on Facebook, facebook.com/Greenwood Family Chiropractic.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, or check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, $25. Stress management, easier said than done. I feel like a lot of these... You know, when we talk about amalgam fillings, and I'm like, yes, like I've never had amalgam fillings. If I had, I would have them removed. My husband had them. You know, we obviously had a biological dentist that had them removed. But I feel like this is just one that as I'm speaking it, it's always a good refresher and a reminder to me that I need to practice what I preach. So Stephen Covey had four quadrants. There are four quadrants. I think you can just hop on the internet and look at it too if you want a better visual. Yeah. You can just go on, hop online, search Stephen Covey, C-O-V-E-Y, Covey, Covey, four quadrants. Now this is one I think about often, or I need to remind myself to think about often. There's four quadrants, and it kind of breaks down urgent, not urgent, important, not important, right? So urgent is top left, not urgent is top right. Important is far like left at the top, far right. So it's almost like a box square. Just look at it. So like, for example, quadrant one, as urgent and important. This is the immediate and important deadlines, right? Like these are the things that have to happen right now. Crisis, medical emergencies, deadline-driven projects, right now. Quadrant two is important but not urgent. Preparation, planning, value clarification, exercise, right? It's important things, but it's not urgent. Three is the not importance. So you have urgent, not important, not urgent, not important. Not important, urgent is some phone calls, some emails, meetings, activities, most popular activities, right? Not super important, but it is urgent. And then quadrant four is not urgent and not important. This is busy work, junk mail. Some phone calls, messages, emails, time waste, or social media. These are times that they're waste. So quadrant one, which is important and urgent, is a quadrant of necessity. Quadrant two, which is important and not urgent, is a quadrant of quality and personal leadership. Quadrant three is not important and urgent. It's a quadrant of deception. And 4 is a quadrant of waste. So we spend so much of our time in this, everything is important and everything is urgent, and it's not. About 5% of your time is really spent for important and urgent matters. The other portion is we waste a lot of our time. We spend 80% of our time on quadrant 4. It's a quadrant of waste, busy work, junk mail. And we put a lot of that in quadrant 4 into quadrant 1. We say this is urgent and important, but it's not urgent and it's not important. Where we really need to start focusing on more is quadrant 2, the important, not urgent things. These are the things that get put off. Personal leadership, relationship building, values, qualities, prevention, exercise. They're not urgent, but they are important. So sometimes we move them down. So I think one of the big things, when something comes at me, a problem, a hurdle, the first thing I think about is, what quadrant does this truly fall in? Where is it? And it allows me to really prioritize what needs to be done right now, what needs to make sure it is done. And we have in our office a 911, 611, and a 411, right? A 911 is right now. A 611 is by the end of the day, and a 411 is by the end of the week, right? But we have to, not just in the office for tasks of that nature, but also in our everyday life too. You know, I have to sometimes remind my husband, like, that's not a time-sensitive matter, but there are other time-sensitive matters that really need to be done. You know, and I have to think about that too. So what we manage, what we focus on, what we avoid, and what we really limit. So go look it up. It is really interesting. Again, it's a thought process shift. So to be able to see it, I think, is really helpful. It's Stephen Covey's, or Covey, Covey, 4 quadrants. The other thing that's been really helpful to me, I feel like I've utilized it way more after having children, is box breathing. This is so simple. You don't have to look at it. It's literally 4 seconds, right? And you have a block. So you breathe in for 4 seconds. You hold that breath for 4 seconds. You breathe out for 4 seconds. And you hold it out for 4 seconds. You breathe in for 4 seconds. Hold that for 4 seconds. Breathe out for 4 seconds. Hold it for 4 seconds, right? And you have this box. And what it does is it actually slows down that sympathetic, that fight or flight. And it actually re-engages that parasympathetic, the rest and digest. So you do that a couple times. There's something so great about that box breathing that has helped me through so many situations that I'm just like, okay, my heart is racing. I don't know why. There's, you know, tons of things that are happening. But to the level of stress that I feel, is this accurate? We do some box breathing. Another thing that I will highly, highly recommend is exercise. Now, this kind of falls into the box of important but not urgent. So this is one, especially individuals with family, I feel like gets pushed aside. There's a lot of things to do, and oftentimes your own personal prevention and health, like exercise, falls to the wayside. But I will tell you that exercise boosts endorphins. Endorphins are kind of those feel-good chemicals. So biologically speaking, this is true. Aerobic exercise boosts oxygen circulation, stimulates your body to produce neurotransmitters, also known as endorphins. So a good aim is 30 minutes of aerobic exercise 3 to 4 times a week. That being said, I do truly feel that there is a good fit for everyone. Not everyone has, for example, I was thinking about this morning. I do high intensity interval training. I go to a gym. I dedicate 45 minutes. The cycles are different pods. You know, it's anywhere from 25 to 40 seconds on, 10 to 20 seconds off. And it kicks my butt in the best possible way you can imagine. It is 45 minutes that I dedicate to myself a couple times a week. You know, and sometimes that means I have to go in at 5 a.m. because that is the only time that someone doesn't need me. Sometimes that means I have to sneak one in at lunch at noon because that's the only time I can get it in that day. You know, and I really look at the week and say, okay, I want to focus on getting at least 2 to 3 times. And sometimes that means I have to do some stuff at home, which with 2 small children is way, way less ideal. I don't know how my husband does it. He's got this whole gym in there. I don't know. The kids don't bother him. It just doesn't work the same when you're a mom, apparently. I don't know. Maybe our family's different. But some people, what really works for them, that they hate that. That sounds awful, and I get it. You know what sounds awful to me? Yoga. Yeah, I just can't get down with it. I've tried it a couple times. The slow movement, holding it. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's the longest 5 seconds ever. But for some people, that's their time to meditate and breathe and focus and relax. And for some reason, that causes me more stress. Right, so I do feel like, though, when we really talk about endorphins, what allows for those endorphins to be formed is more of an aerobic exercise. Aerobic exercise meaning it's forcing oxygen into your tissues, where anaerobic would be something more like the slower paced, you're not really getting as much oxygen in. But from a mindset component, can have a huge effect on your stress, right? So, and the great thing now, you know, modern day, is that with the internet, most of those, there's tons of home exercises online. You can order just a handful of weights for not very expensive that you can keep at your house. You can watch yoga videos on social media platforms, right? So there's so many. So if you're like, I can't get out of the house, I don't have extra money to put out a gym membership, you don't really need to, right? It's finding out what works best with you. But here's what I can tell you. You can only control so many things. So life stressors that happen to you, it's not figuring out how we stop life stressors. It's truly figuring out how we deal with them more appropriately. And those are the times that we can just go through. Think about what quadrant do they fit in? Can I box breeze through this? Do I just need to pick up really heavy things, stop drinking so much caffeine, change your mindset, and really start paying attention to you? Mental health is important. Stress has so many, not only mental, but physical effects on the body that we need to start moving it as more of a priority. So if you want to know more about what we do in our office, give us a call. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always reach out to us at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully you took something away where you can address, evaluate, relax, and breathe. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.